others about you with boldness and pride. We'd like to take this opportunity to pray in unison for Alan. Thank you, God, for your blessing and his successful surgery. Please continue to have grace upon him and his family as he heals and recovers. We also pray for Juliana for adjustment and adaptation in a new environment doing internship with InterVarsity Christian Fellowship in Montreal. God, please protect her footsteps everywhere she goes and guide her to do your work and open her eyes to see the need around her. Our church children's ministry needs a suitable leader from you to guide these little lambs and treasures of you, Lord. May you continue to give strength and wisdom to fellow brothers and sisters as they help out in the ministry before the arrival of such a person. As for our deacon elections, may God you touch the hearts of those brothers and sisters according to your will as we enter the second round of nomination in the coming weeks. Bless Bert in his upcoming message so he can help us to understand you better and bring us close to you. In Jesus' the most precious name we pray. Amen. Now is the time to invite Bert to come up for his sermon's title, God's Strategy for Reaching the World.
Good morning. How's everyone this morning? Good to see all of you and wide awake. I came all the way from Coquitlam this morning at 8:30 and had a great time in the first service trying to awaken the saints. And they stayed awake, hopefully. I also carried a little jacket that I have from OM. It reminds me of the world. But it's too heavy to carry because the whole world's on my shoulders. And sometimes I lose my way because I'm getting older now. So I can't remember my way. But Vancouver's on here. It's right under my arm. And so I don't get lost. And it just reminds me, you know, even to pray for the world. And Friday night we were praying for China. And just the middle of the week, I met my dear sister from SFU, another June. And she just came back from Turkey. A Chinese girl got converted here and goes to Wellington Church. And she decided to give her life at least the summer to the Muslims. She was ready to die in Turkey. And amazing stories of God's protection upon her. And then I found out something amazing. 700 Chinese people from China were mobilized by the church, supported by the church in China, to work in Turkey this summer. Not 700 Americans, 700 Chinese. That's amazing. It's one of the most unreached countries in the world. And yet most Canadians, when they pray for Turkey, it's just a Thanksgiving time. It's sad. But that helped me to pray for the world. And just a little quiz. The person that's really famous for wearing this jacket and a huge, huge, giant balloon of the world, throws it into the audience, speaks all over the world, started an organization in 1957 when he was 17. It has an ocean-going ship. What's his name? Come on. Anybody? You guys into world missions? What's his name? Come on, you're going to get a free book. Come on, call it out. He's known for his world jacket. He's known for a world ball. He's known for the ocean-going ship. Started an organization called OM, 1957. Man, oh, man. Man, well, your pastor needs to be educated on this one. Because I thought everybody was smart here. There we are. George Verver. Okay. A school has started again. I've met a student this morning from UBC. It's great to meet students because we work with international students. I'm a missionary to them. And we have just a little book of testimonies. Some include from UBC. How many countries of the world represented at UBC? Approximately. How many countries? Just give me a guess. We got another free book here. 30. Come on. Got a couple more guesses going. That is a low side. Very low. Come on. She says 100. Okay. Anybody else? Rezon? Is it Rezon? You got the gift. Come on up here. 155. Of international stories. God bless you. And May he educate you about how many people of the world, actually the most international students in all of North America at any university is at UBC. UBC. What a challenge we have. This morning, I'm going to be just in a few minutes introducing my special guest and my special friend. Before I get into the, but I just want to start off with the introduction of this message saying how excited I am. This is a year of celebration. Year of celebration. Well, this church has been involved with me for since 2001. 2001, this church got involved and actually sent teams, including here this now he's elderly, Andrew. He reminds me it was about 14 years ago that groups from this church went all the way to Kamloops, to the ends of the earth, to witness for Jesus and to help us with international students. That all started. Andrew was one of the guys on the team. Anybody else on that team that went to Kamloops? No, that was way back before your time when you were still not born. But Andrew was there and others. You know, when I moved here 6 years ago, this church, again, with Herbert and Karen, sent a group of young people to help unload my truck that came from Kamloops. I don't know if any of you were on that, but it was the partnership that we had with this church. You're still involved with us financially, prayer. Thank you so much. And with food. And this past Friday, you guys send out the food to UBC with Herbert and Karen. Thank you from the bottom of my heart. Because many students, when they come to faith, they say, we originally came here because we heard there was free food. And so we worked up in Kamloops first. 6 years ago, we moved here. But now I just looking at my celebration, it's 50 years ago that I started into world missions. 50 years ago, I left the comfort of my home and my family and my beautiful farm in Alberta to go into world missions. Can you believe that? 50 years ago. And my wife celebrated 50 years as a brand new Christian. In the same year, she accepted Christ as her Savior and shortly after went into God's work. 50 years. We give him all the glory and all the praise. And that I'm 71 this week. And that 6 years ago, I came and helped to start this ministry in Vancouver. And it's just been amazing to see how many students have been touched with God's love. So I'm celebrating. You know that I work with international students. When they first come to our club program, we sometimes ask them to introduce themselves. One day, two students from China came and they said, one said, I'm so-and-so, I come from China. And I've come here to get rich. Another student said, I'm Sean from China, from Shanghai, and I've come here to find God. The second one did find God, became one of our student leaders, and is living today in Singapore following Jesus. I've got contact with him, spent a day with him a couple of years ago, but I don't know what happened to the other student. Lost track of the guy who wanted to get rich. He certainly hasn't helped me out at all. God is here this morning, and if God is here this morning, and those wonderful songs of worship, expressing our love to God and calling upon His Spirit to fill us. I was so touched by these songs. And if He were to introduce Himself, He might be saying, "I am God, and I've given you my message. It's found in the Bible. It's the good news. Everyone needs it. I can get it for free. I have a plan. I have a strategy that everyone in the world can hear it from every tribe and nation." But to accomplish my strategy, you must be part of it. You all must be part of it. Please make this strategy your priority. This message comes from God. What is this strategy? It's found in the book of Acts. And today I can say with all my heart that I want to be part of God's plan to reach the world. I had that burden in 1966 when I was 21 years old. I still had that burden by God's grace and the strength by God's grace. And so, this morning, we desperately need that strategy because it's God's strategy and it works. And so Acts chapter 1, verse 8, we read these words of Jesus on this earth. We hear God's strategy that God's power will come upon you when the Holy Spirit comes. And He will take you into Jerusalem and all Judea to Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth. Those are the last words of Jesus, the most important words. And the disciples really believed these words. And in a few years later, the people who tried to stop them said, these people have turned the world upside down. They've come here also. All happened in one generation. So again, in Acts 8, we see God's strategy and we see how it works in reaching the world in three main points this morning. But many of you have prayed and been part of that as we see God touching people's lives. And one of those students is here this morning from SFU, and I wanted him to share a little bit of how God touched him, and he can express from the focus club that we started just what you guys mean to us this morning. So I've asked June, come on up, welcome him this morning. Student from SFU and from China. He even speaks Cantonese, but English first today. This one, you speak Cantonese the next service.
So, okay. You didn't really need a mic.
No,
really?
I know.
Oh, yeah. So actually, Bert came up to me maybe 2 months ago and asked me whether I'd be willing to share my testimony in a Cantonese church. At first, I was like, maybe, because last time when he asked me to share something in a church in Sunshine Coast, he cut me off at the end because he wanted his mic back so bad. Now I'm here. Before I share my stories, I just want to thank this church for supporting Focus Club throughout the years. Please accept our sincere gratitude. Some of you might be able to tell by my accent that I'm Chinese. Yeah, that's why you probably can't understand my English. But that's okay. I'll be probably speaking in the Cantonese service later. Yeah. So, yeah. Coming from a distant and exotic land to study in the Western world, I guess the toughest part for me and for most of us is dealing with the loneliness and depression that also came with us. I've had depression and anxiety problems throughout my life, and it just hasn't been easy. The emptiness in my heart and the stress from schools also amplifies my depressions and anxieties. And it just seemed it pretty reasonable for cigarettes and alcohol to become a political correct solution. And at some point, I just wanted to end my life with a life. Yeah. Because no matter what I did, the emptiness just wouldn't go away. And it was probably like a winter morning, and I was just wandering around in SFU, and then just some random guy came up to me and asked me whether I know Jesus, and then I answered with, no, what does he teach? And then the guy asked me whether I would love to join him for some coffee, and then I said no, because I'm not interested, and also at that time I wasn't addicted to coffee yet. And then after I came home that night, I just couldn't fall asleep, but kept thinking about what the man said to me. And then that's when I started to do research about God, religion, and faith. And then on a Sunday morning, I found my way to a church and then just see what people are actually doing to worship God. And then I guess, you know, this is like a Christian kind of thing, and you know how if you are a newcomer to a church, and then you usually be surrounded by people, and then they will ask you questions like, where are you from, what are you studying, where do you go to school? And then I was actually wearing the right t-shirt, and it's like the department t-shirt, and then it says economics and SFU. And you know, when people ask me, oh, where do you go to school and where were you studying, I just here and yeah, because I know I was a bit socially awkward, and I didn't really want to talk to anybody. I just want to see, you know, what they're actually doing there. But it was when I sat down for the worship and I realized that something magical was happening. I realized that I found peace in my heart, and tears just came out of my eyes. And then I just started going to some Bible studies and learning Christ, and then I found Focus Club and Bert during club days in SFU. And during my first visit there, and then of course I went through the whole Christian welcome process with them. And I guess the biblical reference that is the parable of the lost sheep, and I'm not gonna read it. Yeah. So I remember somebody was asking me some biblical question there, and then I was able to answer them because I went to a few Bible studies before going to Focus Club. And then the person asked me, hey, are you a Christian? Are you a believer? And then I'm like, maybe, I don't know. And then, wow. And then I really loved the people there and the multicultural environment. And so I just started doing life with them. And it wasn't before long, I also started serving with them. And it was a blessing. And then Jesus said, he's a light and he's the truth. I just can't thank God enough for saving me from my darkest time. And so he not only changed my life, but also gave me a new one. There's more to life than just living for ourselves. Getting to know our Lord Jesus should be what we live for. And being able to live in Vancouver, where people are open to everything, I feel truly privileged to know Christ through my journey with Focus Club. At last, as an international student from Focus Club, I just want to thank you all for supporting us again. And I think Bert really wants his mic back, so I'll just leave. Thank you.
Thank you so much. God bless you. Yes. Wow. Really, really, I'm so glad that June could be here to represent the heart of what I'm talking about this morning, because what he's saying, I could say amen and close right now, but I do want to go through the message in a very abbreviated way this morning, but it summarizes what I want to say this morning. Is it worthwhile to see a brother like him who was lost and is now found? And now he's not only just a believer sitting in a pew, but he's involved in inviting his friends and helping others find the same message. We want to impact international students so they will impact the world for Jesus. And I can tell you so many stories of students that are back in China and Beijing and Nanjing and in Tokyo and other places, students that write, students that say they're now leading Bible studies and leading people to Jesus. And it's just wonderful. Some actually have started churches. And so God is working. He's working all over the world. And you have a part to play, because we couldn't have done it without people like your church. So just let me go through the outline just highlight a few things, so at least you can say you listened to a message this morning besides a testimony from June. But you can go to him afterwards. He'll be free at the table and share a bit more with him. We look at the messenger and the message this morning. So it's God's strategy that we're looking at, and it's a strategy that works. So are we involved in God's strategy? Is this a priority in our lives? Look, be motivated by the messenger, which is Philip. God uses ordinary people who have an extraordinary God. Nothing special about June, nothing special about me. I was just a farmer's boy. But God, and I didn't know how to reach international students. I couldn't even turn a computer on. When the students got emails from me, I had to write them out, and my wife sent it. I couldn't even turn the computer on. Finally, when I got to Vancouver, my son gave me an iPad for Christmas. Time for Dad to get into the 21st century. And now I can actually send my own emails. And I can, you know, it's amazing. And Bert's high tech now. I got an email. I got an iPad that matches with my iPhone. I can't believe it. Anyway, the messenger is Philip. And God uses him with no theological training, no manuals to follow, no experience. But he had the most important qualifications. Let me just give you a list. They're on the back there. On the PowerPoint, Philip was full of the Holy Spirit. Acts 6, verse 3. He started his ministry serving tables, looking after food distribution for the poor. Every small thing we do, we need to be filled with the Spirit of God. I go biking for Jesus. I am swimming for Jesus. I go to the hot tub for Jesus. It's true. I said that God brings me there. And I'm in the hot tub, and people can't say they have no time to talk to me because they're there, sitting there. So I say, who are you? How long have you been in Vancouver? Because most people come from outside of Vancouver, not in Vancouver, including me. And so they tell me, and I say, welcome to Vancouver. Oh, you're from China. You're from Korea. Welcome here. And then I talk to them a little bit more. So a couple of weeks later, a lady meets me in church in Coquitlam. She said, "Oh, thank you for inviting me to this church." I says, "Who are you? I haven't seen you before." She said, "Yes, you did. You saw me in the hot tub and you invited me here." But of course, they look different in the hot tub than they do in church. And so, you know, and God uses me. God, I said, "Lord, use me everywhere you go. Everywhere. Everywhere to everyone." Because he wants to use us to reach the world. Philip was full of the Holy Spirit. We sang that beautiful song about being more and more filled with the Spirit and reign in me. But so even with a small task, no matter how small, we need to be filled with the Spirit. Nothing would happen in God's kingdom, and the book of Acts would not be written if the disciples were not filled with the Spirit. Are you filled with the Spirit? Did you ask God to fill you this morning? And oh, he said, just because he filled you with the Spirit some years ago or 6 months ago or last week doesn't mean you need the Spirit today. I need to be filled with the Spirit every day. Ephesians 5:18 says, it's a command, be filled with the Spirit and be continually filled. So Billy Graham once said, "I don't care how you get it, just get it." And so, but somebody complained to Moody because he told everyone to get filled with the Spirit. And he was saying that all the time. And people said, "We've heard that before. Why are you telling us all the time?" He says, "Because I leak." Do you leak? I leak. I leak. And so I need God to fill me all the time. What a difference it would make if we were all filled with the Spirit. What kind of impact we would make in Vancouver. Just yesterday, 150 pastors were meeting at Wellington Church. And they were meeting to pray for the Billy Graham Festival of Hope with Franklin Graham in the Rogers Arena in March. And we were praying that God would touch Vancouver. We were praying that God would fill us and our churches so that we would touch this city and see this city change by God's grace. It's once a lifetime event. Are you praying for it? In your bulletin, you have a whole list of churches. There are actually over 200 churches involved in this program. These are the churches that are hosting training programs and coming up in October. For three weeks, one night a week. You can go to any one of those. But most of you are young people, so you might want to do a condensed version called FM 419 on October 15th. Just one day with lots of music and lots of sharing. And for students, it's a one-day event. Costs $10 because it includes food and materials. I looked through those materials. I would like to encourage all of you as students to consider going. It will change your life. It'll equip you. It'll energize you. It'll help you to be a great witness for Jesus Christ. I'm involved in it. So we have some little pamphlets here. Please pray and the Festival of Hope there at the table. And you have that little pamphlet in your bulletin. Philip was also full of wisdom. Acts 6 verse 3, we need wisdom from God to reach a pagan world and to know how to share God's message. I'm always reading and gaining new information on how to share the message of God. Philip was available and adaptable. I like the word fat, F-A-T. You have to be fat, flexible, adaptable, teachable. One day he was serving tables. The next day he was going into Judea and Jerusalem. And the next day he was going to Samaria. And the next day he was on the desert road looking for that Ethiopian eunuch. That's flexibility. I've been in India. I've been in Belgium. I was driving a truck for Jesus for 3 years. Got married in India. I served Christ in Belgium. I was a Canadian director for OM. I served a street mission in Kamloops for 4 years, working with alcoholics and drug addicts. I used to go to prison for 10 years. Every week, people say, "Where do you come from?" I said, "I just got out of jail." And I would be visiting prisoners. And one day in New West, I was waiting for my wife with her eye appointment. I saw a street lady on the street. Nobody was talking to her. I decided to get down on my knees and just sit beside her. And I prayed with her and talked to her for that's a little bit different than talking to an intellectual student at the university. So you have to know God's wisdom, be flexible, be adaptable wherever you are. His life was anytime, anywhere, anyhow to be his witness. Going from serving tables to Samaria to the chariot took a great degree of adaptability. I was willing to go. I was willing to listen to God. That Philip was obedient to the Spirit, Acts 8:27. Philip was bold and brave, Acts 8:30. He ran to the chariot. The guy comes from another country, speaks a different language, has guards and maybe spears and firearms. If he was today, he was protected. He was the head of the treasury of Ethiopia. And yet Philip was willing to run to this guy to stop that chariot and listen to him and share with him. Philip was filled with compassion. Jesus was moved with compassion when he saw the multitudes. And so I believe the secret for all of that is that these disciples had been with Jesus. They had been with Jesus. And when you're with Jesus and you're filled with the Spirit, you're going to do things you've never done before. You're going to go places you've never gone before. You're going to say things you've never said before because the Spirit of God is guiding you. And that's what he has been doing in my life for many, many years. I thank God. Then you must follow the methods of God in evangelism. So there's many methods. Today we have the latest technology. We have schools and seminars, promotional techniques. We have iPads. We have all the flashy promotional materials. And yet the impact of Christians in North America is going backwards. We're going backwards. Our impact is decreasing rather than increasing. But you know, in Asian countries, in South America, China, African countries, the gospel is advancing. Maybe we focus on man's methods instead of God's methods. Nice buildings and programs rather than the power and the presence of God. And so here in the PowerPoint, you see that the methods that Philip had, first of all, preparation. Preparation by God. Philip was prepared by God by serving tables to reach Samaria and the eunuch from Ethiopia. God prepared me to reach international students by sending me to India and learning about hospitality. So every week, my wife opens up her home to international students. We love them. I bike with them. I have 10 bikes. We got lots of trails around Port Coquitlam, the 25-kilometer one. Even with my false knee that I got here, I can bike 25 kilometers. In fact, I can do better than I did 4 years ago because of my false knee. So the students have a hard time in fact, one student from China at SFU this week, I said, how old am I? She said, you're 50. I said, thank you. Thank you so much. Another group of students, I picked them up at the airport. They were middle school students. I said, how old am I? 50. No, the student said, you're 45. Another person said, you're 43. I said, thank you so much. I'm turning 71 this week. That's God's grace. Preparation by God. All that is one of the keys. You need to pray that God will prepare you, even for this Billy Graham crusade that's coming. Prepare me to reach people whose hearts will be prepared by God, who'll be open. Oh, Lord, prepare us. This Ethiopian eunuch was being prepared by God, sent all the way to Jerusalem. God prepares the international students to come here. Many of them are lonely. Many of them begin to start to search for truth and for answers, and they want family. And so we open our home at Christmas time and Thanksgiving all the time. Preparation by God and purpose and plan of God being followed. God's plan is being followed so that the whole world will be impacted. Why do you think there are so many people from all over the world in Vancouver? Just because they like Vancouver? Just because they have driven the housing market up into the millions of dollars? No. Yeah, yes, that's some of the things that have happened. But God brought these people so that you could show your love to them. That's right. That's the only. God brings this guy from Ethiopia all the way to Jerusalem. God brings these people here. And he wants you to open your eyes. The purpose and plan of God is being followed. I can share so many stories of how God met these students and people here in Canada. Even on Friday night, I heard from these ladies in our church that are coming from mainland China to bring their children here in school, and their husbands are in China. And some of them had just found Jesus. They're in our church, in our small group. And one lady told me there's about 480 of them in Coquitlam. Amazing. What an opportunity we have. And that lady that found Jesus, she's going out everywhere telling people, I found a church that feels like family, and life is not so boring in Canada anymore. The third principle of the God, and I got to come to an end, is that they were experiencing the power of God. Philip was seeing amazing things happen. Miracles were taking place. Great, if you read that Acts chapter 8. Do we need that in our lives? Do we need that in our churches? The disciples saw and experienced the power of God. If we see the power of God, people will be attracted. People will notice it. Many times people ask me, where do you get your energy from? Why are you still doing this when you're 71 years old? So it leads me into great conversations. Be moved by the message, the good news. The good news. That's my last point there. It's God's message. It's not my message. And it will change people's lives like it changed the life of June, who was so depressed with his life. This message is a matter of life and death. It's a matter of eternal joy or eternal sorrow. What I give up now is nothing compared to spreading the good news. Oh, if we would see that. One student from Korea came to our group in Kamloops. Oh, he said, they're all Chinese. It's not for me. But he saw a booklet in Korean on the table. Oh, he said, they got something for me. He took the booklet, came back, accepted Christ. He teaches English in Seoul, Korea. You know what? The students that come from his class, they said, Bert, you're so popular in Korea. Your email's going all over the country because of this teacher. And he tells them, if you're in Vancouver, you've got to meet this guy called Bert. And two students did that 2 months ago. They just arrived. They said, we got your email from our teacher in Korea. We want to know who you are. There's so many good stories about you in Korea. And we want you to help us. And I linked them up with the churches and international groups. And those two girls are now following Jesus. They've opened their hearts to Jesus. All because of this guy that came to our club in Kamloops years ago. So it is. This message is the message that changes people's lives. It's the most important message in the world. My last point this morning is a true story that took place in the days of the gold rush. There was a ship on Lake Erie that caught fire. It was trying to reach the land. Men and women were in great confusion. They were trying to escape. There was a gold miner there from California. He fastened his gold securely on him. He was going to try to get to land and swim ashore. Then a little girl in the crowd touched him and looked in his face with great longing and said, won't you please save me? I have no papa here to save me. Won't you please? What would he do? He looked at his belt. He gave that belt of gold his life struggle one swift glance. But the little girl's soft touch, her voice and eyes strangely affected him. He could not say both. Which? All kinds of thoughts raced through his mind. Then he dropped the gold. He took the child and made the plunge into the water. And he reached the shore utterly exhausted. And he opened his eyes. And there was this little girl standing over him with tears of gratitude flooding her eyes. And a human life never seemed so precious. He lost his gold, his years of toil, but he saved a life. And if he found it, I found a new life springing up within him. Listen, their voice is crying. Will you help me? I have no one to help me. I need what you have. I've never heard this message before. The greatest message in the world, the good news. Will you sacrifice to give out this message to one soul this week? It'll make the difference between life and death. Do we have that perspective? Let's pray. Lord, you touched my own heart, even through that story again about that little girl. The guy had to lose his gold to save that girl's life, and he found a new life. And Lord, every time I see new people like June coming to Jesus, it gives me motivation to go one more mile. One more mile for the kingdom of God. We sang the songs to a task that's unfinished. And people that are coming to this country have never even heard Jesus, the name of Jesus before. Who is Jesus? What is the Bible? What's Easter? But we have the answer. Lord, it can make the difference between life and death. Mobilize us, energize us, equip us, Lord, this big crusade that's coming here, that we would be tools to touch this great city of Vancouver, and that Vancouver will never be the same. Bless these young people here. Many of them are young people and older ones as well. And help us to keep our eyes focused on Jesus and the task that's unfinished. We pray you'll use us to touch some life this week. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Got my prayer letter in the back. If you want to keep up to date with what's happening in my life, thank you again so much for standing with us in prayer. God bless you.